Thank you for that introduction. As you said, my name is Corey Vineyard. I'm a master's student candidate under Dr. Stewart at the University of Tennessee. Today I'm going to talk about the potential interaction of preventative treatments for insect and weed control. I want to start off by giving some facts about Tennessee cotton production. Tennessee is on the northern edge of the cotton belt, which means that we have a short growing season that is hampered by cool, wet springs and falls. This means that early season management is very key to Tennessee cotton production. The three key factors in early season management includes early maturing varieties, insecticide treatments, and pre-emergence herbicides. Picking the right variety is very essential to getting the best yield out of your cotton. So in 2013, we chose Fige and 375, and in 2014, we chose Fige and 333 for their early maturity and high yielding qualities. You have to have a good thrips insecticide treatment. In past years, this has been the in-furrow granular treatments of Aldicarb or Timic. This is no longer available due to environmental concerns and because of the ease of handling with newer technologies. Also, throughout the past few years, we have been using neonicotinoid seed treatments such as thymethoxam or Cruiser and imidacloprid or Gaucho. But in the past few years, there's been concern about declining efficiency with these neonicotinoid seed treatments. So these insecticides are to prevent thrips, which are in the order of Thysanoptera and the family Thripidae. There are three species of thrips that are commonly found in Tennessee, including tobacco thrips, the western flower thrips, and eastern flower thrips. Thrips are consistently among the top three economic pests of Tennessee cotton, and cotton is most susceptible to thrips from emergence to fourth true leaf. The most obvious sign of thrips damage in the field is the crinkling of leaves, which happens by thrips inserting their maximary stylets into the leaf tissue and sucking out essential plant nutrients. Another sign is the silvering of leaves, which happens by thrips using their rasping, sucking mouth parts to break apart the epidural cells in the plant tissue. Another type of damage that can happen through thrips feeding is the loss of apical dominance, which happens when thrips feed on the apical marrow stem, which results in disruption of plant growth and can also lead to crazy cotton. With high enough infestations, thrips can cause absolute plant growth and stand loss. With Tennessee being on the northern edge of the cotton belt, the damage that we are most concerned with is the delay in maturity, which, if infestations are high enough, will not allow bolls to be set and will greatly reduce yield. So going back to our key three factors of early season management in cotton, the third factor is the pre-emerge herbicides. An increase in glyphosate-resistant weeds due to selective pressure from a glyphosate-dependent management system has led to an increase in multiple mode of action pre-emergence herbicides to combat these glyphosate-resistant weeds. The timetable that this has happened with the introduction of pre-emergence herbicides coincides with the timetable of this declining efficacy of our neonicotinoid seed treatments. This has led to speculation from academia and in industry that these pre-emerge herbicides are affecting the systemic qualities of our neonicotinoid seed treatments. This has led to many tests, including mine and others, throughout the Mid-South. The hypothesis of my test is that pre-emergence herbicides are negatively affecting plant growth and interacting with the performance of the neonicotinoid seed treatments. The test was set up as a 4x4 factorial with four replications in a randomized complete block design. The insecticide treatments used was Cruiser, Gaucho, and Timic, along with the untreated check. And our pre-emerge herbicide treatments included Cotteran, the combination of Cotteran Reflex, Cotteran Dual, Magnum, and an untreated check as well. To see if and how much the herbicides were affecting our insecticide seed treatments, thrips numbers were taken at the first, and I'm sorry, that should be the second true leaf stage of our Timic plots, by counting the thrips present on eight plants per plot, taken at random. and these samples were saved for biomass weights. We also took thrips injury ratings at this same time frame on a 0 to 5 scale, with 0 being no injury and 5 being 100% plant death. And we also did vigor ratings at this time frame on a 0 to 5 scale, but 0 being plant death and 5 being 100% vigor throughout the plot. The results from this test is done by using SASPROC mix, with the least significant difference for mean separation test and an alpha level of 0.05. I'd like to take a minute and set up the following few graphs. On the y-axis, we have our thrips numbers, and on the x-axis, we have our treatments. This graph is for the first true leaf and second true leaf immature thrips numbers counts, dealing with our insecticide factor. And with our first true leaf, we could see a statistical difference between our untreated and cruiser, and a statistical grouping of gaucho and timic, but gaucho and timic providing better control. During our second true leaf stage, we saw the grouping switch to our untreated and cruiser, and a statistical difference between gaucho and timic, but gaucho and timic still providing good control. This is the same graph except with our herbicide factor, and for both our first true leaf and second true leaf stages, we saw no statistical difference between our herbicide treatments. Now, this graph is representing the insecticide by herbicide interaction, and I would like to take a minute to set up this graph. Again, we have our thrips numbers on our y-axis, our herbicide treatments on our x-axis, and our insecticide treatments are represented by the different colors on the graph. This is during the second true leaf stage, and I would like to show you this by developing two different groups, the first being the gaucho and timic at the bottom, and the second being the untreated and cruiser at the top. When Cotteran Reflex and Cotteran were applied to our cruiser, we saw an increase in thrips numbers. Although we didn't have an interaction, we did see trends of this. This is a table of our immature thrips counts for both years of 2013 and 2014. Dealing with our insecticide factor, we saw the statistical grouping of untreated and cruiser, and gaucho providing better control and timic being the best control. In 2014, we saw the same trends. Dealing with our herbicide factor in 2013, we saw a statistical difference between all of our treatments. And in 2014, we saw no change. This is representing our vigor ratings between the 2 years. Again, we saw with our insecticide factor, we saw the statistical grouping of our untreated and cruiser plots, and we saw the statistical difference of gaucho and timic. In 2014, we saw this grouping switch to the gaucho and timic, with untreated and cruiser still not being as good as gaucho or timic. Dealing with our herbicide factor, in 2013, we saw the statistical difference between all of our treatments, and in 2014, we saw no change. This is sea cotton yield for both years, and dealing with our insecticide seed treatment factor in 2013, again, we saw the grouping and the difference between gaucho and timic, although they were better. In 2014, again, we saw no change. In 2013, dealing with our herbicide factor, we saw no change. And in 2014, we saw the statistical grouping split between our untreated and reflex Cotteran plots and our Cotteran and Cotteran dual plots. Cotteran and Cotteran dual plots being better. So this is a visual representation of the early season vigor between our gaucho and cruiser plots. Here we can see that the gaucho plots were able to escape the window of thrips susceptibility faster than our cruiser plots, which can be seen later on in the year, where the gaucho plots are growing vigorously and the cruiser plots are still stunted and trying to catch up. So the results from these tests is that pre-emergence herbicides can negatively affect plant growth and health, and that there are indications of herbicide and insecticide interactions in 2013, but we did not see any interactions in 2014. The conclusions from these results is that while pre-emergence herbicides can negatively affect the growth of the cotton plant, the level of thrips control was the primary factor affecting plant health. It should be noted that cruiser did not provide adequate control of thrips in 2013 and 2014. Now we know that there is confirmed resistance to thymethoxam cruiser in populations of tobacco hoops throughout the Mid-South. And I'd like to thank Dr. Stewart and the rest of my committee, along with all of the rest of the West Tennessee Research and Education Center staff. I'll take any questions.
Any questions for Corey? All right, thank you.
Thank you.